You're listening to HuntertonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programming.
Hostage seizures today in the Paris area. Officials say a hostage was freed after being held by the two brothers suspected in the killings at the Charlie Hebdo newspaper. They say the brothers, Sharif and Saeed Kayouchi, came out of their hideaway with guns blazing and were killed in a shootout. The leader of the Lebanese Hezbollah group says Islamic extremists have insulted Islam and the Prophet Muhammad more than those who publish satirical cartoons mocking the religion. Sheikh Hassan Nasrallah did not directly mention the Paris attack on the offices of Charlie Hebdo, but he said Islamic extremists who behead and slaughter people, a reference to the IS group's rampages in Iraq and Syria, have done more harm to Islam than anyone else in history. This is USA Radio News.
Have you ever had a piece of chocolate cake call you into the kitchen? Has the Dairy Queen sign ever forced your car into the drive-thru lane? Have you ever had a bag of chips dive off the counter right into your hands? Hi, how in the world are you anyway? I'm Andy Willoughby, speaking for the ILikeHowILook.com website. Chances are, at some time in your day, you have been and will continue to be the victim of cravings. ILikeHowILook.com website realizes that you can't hide in your closet all day just to avoid snack attacks. That's why they recommend the 10-2-in-a-chew weight loss system. 10-2-in-a-chew offers powerful, natural appetite suppressants to put cravings on the run. To see a video explaining how it works, just go to ILikeHowILook.com. They will send you a free sample. Most people notice a difference the very first day. It's much easier to lose weight without those sneaky cravings, so watch the video at ILikeHowILook.com. That's ILikeHowILook.com.
The House has once again approved construction on the Keystone XL pipeline. AP correspondent Jerry Bodlander reports.
The yeas are 266, the nays are 153.
It's the 10th time the GOP-controlled House has approved construction. Supporters like Congressman Jeff Denham stressing the project would boost the economy and more.
The American public deserves these jobs, and we deserve to be energy independent.
Arizona's Raul Grijalva was among Democrats who voted no.
Any leak or failure, and God forbid, explosion, will have disastrous impacts on our environment.
The measure now goes to the Senate, where approval is expected, though in neither chamber does there appear to be enough support to override a promised presidential veto. Jerry Bodlander, Capitol Hill.
Hours before the House vote, Nebraska's highest court tossed out a lawsuit challenging the pipeline's route, an obstacle the White House said it needed removed to make a decision on the project. I'm J.J. Jeffries.
Hey, Linda. Have you been working out?
I've been shopping at Rite Aid.
Huh?
Yeah, it's Happy You Year at Rite Aid. You can earn all these great rewards just by shopping. I got dance fitness sessions.
Rewards for shopping. Happy Me Year.
It's Happy You Year at Rite Aid. Earn rewards from bowling to exercise classes to vacations for every $50 you spend on participating products with your Wellness Plus card. Now through January 24th. Certain restrictions apply. Value and types of rewards will vary. See RiteAid.com/YouYear for details.
Comedian Bill Cosby has continued his tour dates after a string of cancellations that followed sexual assault allegations from some 15 women. USA Radio's Russ Jones explains.
Shame on you! Shame on you!
Protesters outside Bill Cosby's performance in London, Ontario shouted, "Shame on you!" as fans entered the show. Meanwhile, inside the hall, a woman who got up from one of the front rows and walked past the stage was asked by Cosby where she was going. When she answered that she was going to the lobby to grab a drink, Cosby responded, "You have to be careful about drinking around me." The remark was met with loud applause. I'm Russ Jones.
Washington State agriculture officials said on Thursday they have imposed an emergency 8-month quarantine on poultry and eggs in two counties in the southeastern part of the state to contain an outbreak of highly contagious bird flu. The quarantine restricts the movements of eggs, poultry, or poultry products out of the quarantine zone, which makes up roughly 20 miles around Benton and Franklin counties, the Washington State Department of Agriculture said. A highly pathogenic strain of avian influenza, the H5N2 virus, was confirmed this month in two flocks of mixed poultry and other birds in the region, agriculture officials said. The virus has not been found in commercial poultry, and there was no immediate public health concern, the state agency said. This is the USA Radio Network.
The news is sponsored by Patton, Heide & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc.
In America, we believe in a future that is better than today. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has been working hard for their clients' futures, never taking a bailout, helping generations achieve dreams, buy homes, put their kids through college, retire how they want to. Today, Patton, Heide & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. They are ready to help you feel more confident about your financial future. Put the strength of a global financial leader to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton, Heide & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you achieve your dreams and goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. That's 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Ameriprise Financial Services, Incorporated. Member FINRA and SIPC.
Well, good afternoon. January 9th, can you believe it? We're the first week of January. And what about the weather? We're going to talk a bit about the weather, and then I'm going to introduce my guest for the program, It's the Law. I'm Pat Smits, and I'm your host of this program. But the first thing we have to look at for the weekend is the weather. And let's be happy, and we'll talk a little bit more on the sports guys, but talk about the weather around the country. And let's be very happy we're not in the Green Bay, Wisconsin area, where it's been 25 to 30 below zero at night. So this, well, I'm saying this, of course, to make you feel better, because our temperature is to go down around 9 degrees tonight. So it's going to be very cold for New Jersey, but at least it's not 20 to 30 below. Tomorrow actually is going to be a nice day, sunny, high of about 20 degrees, but still with the sun it's always nice. Tomorrow night, mostly clear, and again a low of about 9 degrees. Then on Sunday, it's mostly sunny, but up to a high of 32 degrees. So I guess we can be very happy that it's not a lot colder. Into Sunday night, we can expect at least about a 30% chance of snow and sleet. But wintry mix on Monday, expect about 60% wintry mix. So that one could be a little more dicey when you're trying to get to work in the morning and come home at night. But in any event, I'm really pleased today. The program, of course, It's the Law. And one of the things that a lot of people have been asking me about is franchises. Now, I know nothing about franchises. And my guest today, Tom Turode, did I say that right, Tom? Oops, let me get you on the speaker here. And the reason I asked Tom to be on is he's the managing director of Sunrise Business Advisors, and his expertise is working with business owners. And one of the things that I'm finding, and a lot of people are looking into these days, are whether or not when they start a business, whether they should start a franchise. What's the pros? What are the cons? And what Tom does is he works with both franchisees, franchisors, and he helps people develop their business. And he has, in fact, has the expertise to do that in part because he's owned and operated a multitude of different businesses. Now, Tom can be contacted at his cell phone is 973-668-8342. And he certainly works in this whole area of New Jersey. So I suggest anyone who's interested in a good business coach or interested in any of these starting a business, or in fact, if you have a business and need some help. And I think all of us, if we're honest, can say that we do need help when we're working in business. But welcome, Tom.
Thank you very much. I'm looking forward to having our conversation today.
And I'd like the conversation mainly to be on your side. Now, interestingly, I am going to have an attorney who helps people who want to start franchises, franchises to work with him, and he'll be a guest one of these weeks. But I think it would be interesting for me, at least, to know what your philosophy is with respect to coaching and mentoring and advising business owners.
Well, I look back, and I, how I got involved in coaching is actually fairly interesting. I was involved in a number of businesses from a very young age, and I look back, and one of the businesses, I had a couple of video stores back in the 80s, and everybody remembers video stores. Where are they now? It's kind of the horse and buggy type thing. Now Redbox has replaced most of them. However, I look back and I had a very profitable single store, and I had a partner, and we looked at it, they're doing so great at this. Let's look around a couple other opportunities. Let's look at a second store. In the bank one day, and a gentleman comes up and goes, my nephew is selling a store in a nearby town. Would you be interested in looking at it? Absolutely. Let's go over and look at it. What we didn't realize is the store, while it was very glamorous, was very unprofitable. Had a much higher overhead than our original store. So my partner and I, who each went to working about 3 days a week, you know, separating the days at the first store, then went to working 7 days a week. So I look back, it's like one of those life lessons. I wished I had somebody, an advisor, a coach, somebody that I could have talked to about it. Because everybody that was involved is like, yeah, you should do this, you should do this. Not realizing that you're going to go from working, making a nice income, working almost part-time hours, because I had another business at the time, to now working 7 days a week and no longer able to do the other business and making less money.
And, of course, the assumption was, I guess, if one store is profitable, bigger is better, and not always the case.
Right. Now, there were certainly some economies of scale. We were able to get some buying that we got additional from the from one store to two stores. So we had some benefit there, but we still had the rent for the second store. A lot of other those costs were exceptionally higher than the first store. So it was one of those awakening moments, bigger is not always better.
Well, let me ask you, it seems to me that often I've seen this, mainly I have had obviously many clients who are in business, many of them are very successful, some of them aren't, but I think that often people just don't really realize the startup costs of a business. And, certainly there have been a lot of businesses who are going out of business these days.
Most people don't think about it. And you look statistically, I think I read it was, 80% of new businesses don't make it 5 years. You know, whether they merge, they close their doors, you know, whatever happens to them, because they don't fully plan it out. And interestingly, most people think that they don't make the 5 year mark because of cash flow. They were undercapitalized to start. Now, that is certainly a large reason for not making the 5 years, but what ends up happening is they just didn't properly plan. They had a passion for what they did, or maybe they were the good technician what they do. To think about it, I'll use an example of an attorney off a franchise model, but many attorneys are great at what they do. They think they can do this better. They go up and they hang a shingle, and it's not the same. You're a great lawyer, but owning a business as a lawyer is very different than having the practice.
Well, you're absolutely right, and in fact, many of us probably went into the law because we had no head for business and no real inclination to be a business person, and we find out, and I think that's what happens in many professions, you find out that you really have to run a business, and that is...
It's very different than being a technician. I use that as an example, but I've had mechanic clients, I've had HVAC, I've had plumbers, electricians, it's the same thing. They're great at their skill. But it's very different than owning a business and doing the skill. You know, it's working on the business versus in the business, the email philosophy.
Well, let me ask you, let's assume, and we're talking a little bit about franchises today, and, if somebody came to you, let's assume I was a little bit younger and I came to you and said, gee, you know, I'd like to get into business. I'm thinking of maybe, working and doing a franchise. Let's assume I came to you before I really had any concrete ideas. What would you tell me?
I'd start thinking about, what are you passionate about? What do you like to do? And is there a way to make money at that? I'll give you how I got involved in franchising. So at the point I'd owned five different businesses, I was a senior management with a Fortune 500 company. My position was eliminated. I said, what do I want to do next? I went on some interviews and I said, it's not what I wanted to do. I never intended to work for a big company. After 8 years, did very well, but it's not where I wanted to be. So I started looking at, what do I want? I want to go back and have a business again. So I had the advantage, the company provided an outsourcing, and there was a gentleman who's a franchise broker who gave a talk, and he says, whether you're going to buy a franchise or an individual business, come to the talk. We can just explore some options. Never thought that I wanted to be part of a franchise. Well, guess what? 3 months later, I bought a coaching franchise. It was a great way to launch my practice. I did it for 5 years. My term of my agreement was up, and I changed the model of my business a little bit and more became advising and consulting than strictly coaching. But it was a franchise for coaching. Huh. And the advantage is it gave you all the tools, all the pieces to launch your business. So the advice I would give somebody who really doesn't have experience is explore what are you passionate about, and is there a franchise that maybe fits that? And take some time to really investigate that. There's a number of franchises shows throughout the year. There's a big one in New York at the Jacob Javits Center. I think it's in June. And there's literally thousands of different businesses, franchises there. Great way to explore it. Some that have been proven around for many, many years. And then some that are new. And I went the first time this year, and I had a couple friends over there. And I said, it's really interesting. You kind of see some themes of different franchises. Personal training is a new one. There must have been five franchises for personal training, chiropractors. And I said, they've been doing the show for 8 years, and what they found was interesting is, I said, half of these franchisors won't be here next year. There's always a turnover. Like, they're developing the system. Maybe they've got a couple units, but they don't make it as a franchise.
Well, that's interesting. You mentioned chiropractors, and that would be something that I would think, would not be a franchise.
I didn't think it either, and I'm kind of following it peripheral to see, does it take off? Because that's something to me would be very personal. Now, granted, you could take a chiropractor. Here's the systems. Here's the processes to develop your practice. More marketing, because you can't teach them to be a chiropractor, right. But it's probably marketing that they're
marketing or business. But it would just seem to me that would be, to hire a business coach to, do that type of thing. I mean, I certainly know.
Well, I kind of think that too, but it was kind of interesting to see where it goes. Well, the same thing with a personal trainer. I don't know where the personal training model would come franchising, because again, that's personal. You need to have a relationship. Mm-hmm. But I know in the case of one of the personal training companies, they were selling a system to market. Okay. How do you market yourself as a personal trainer? And that's the franchise model.
Okay, so that would be instead of hiring a coach or hiring a business manager, or that's interesting.
Well, I think that's the philosophy. But as I've not only was I part of a franchise, but I've worked with five or six different franchisees. Mm-hmm. And while everyone thinks that you get this business in a box and everything's all done for you, it still takes the development of a leader of a business that a business coach can provide. A great thing, and I started exploring this a couple of years ago, is let's take two units, any type of franchise. This particular model, maybe it was one of the hair franchises. You take two owners; they have multiple units. Demographics of their locations are very similar. One is doing exceptional high profit margins, almost no turnover. The other one, again, similar demographics, amazing turnover. A turnover as far as employees is constant. His revenues are down, his profits are down. Now, what's the difference between the two if the demographics are fairly similar between the two locations?
I would think it's the manager.
It's the owner.
Or the owner. The owner, owner
right,
manager.
Owner slash manager, correct. So that's where a coach comes in, is how to help them be a better, stronger leader, how to be a better business a business owner. That's where the advantage of having a business coach comes in.
And how about selecting employees? Is that also part of when you're coaching?
It's a huge part of what I do as a coach. I have what I call a 4-hour hiring process. Is to really, I like to have people disqualify themselves for the process, and it's not being mean to them. Just saying you need to do certain things, and it can be any level of job. You start saying these are the things we need. For instance, if you want a resume that's fax versus an email, and you say, please email your please fax my resume, and everybody wants to email it, you know, it kind of tells you they're not following instructions. If you say I need 1, 2, and 3 items listed, and they don't list those, you start disqualifying the process.
Well, let me ask you. So I come to you, and I'm thinking about doing a franchise, and let me think. Either, for example, one of my passions is to make chocolate. So,
okay.
So that's what I want to do. Now, what would you tell me, assuming that there's a franchise out there for making chocolate? There probably is. There's a franchise for everything.
Trying to think if there is or not, but you're right. So let's say you want to create one.
What would be what you would talk to me about as far as franchising versus just opening on my own? I think that's one of the things that people
wonder. Do you want to buy a chocolate franchise, or are you looking to create a chocolate franchise?
Well, let's assume that I want to go into the chocolate business, and I don't know whether I should just do it on my own or there's a franchise out there that I could.
Okay, so let's go with the assumption that there is a franchise that does chocolates. And we'll find out and let everybody know afterwards whether there is or not. But
okay.
So let's assume there is. So you start doing your due diligence. And one of the things, it's a financial, a franchise disclosure document. If you start looking, all right, let's call it Jim's Chocolates.
Okay.
I mean, maybe we need a better name than that. But he's got 40 units nationally. He's based out. He started it. He's created. And what he does is you get a system in a box. You get his branding, his logo, his marketing program, and he
machines.
Machines, chocolate machines. You get all that.
Right.
All the suppliers, all the supply relationships, website, all that comes with it. And he has he's big enough now that he has a real estate department to help you find a location.
Okay.
So you assess what's the cost. What's the startup cost? Let's just, again, a lot of assumptions here, but let's just say that to set up a store in a retail location, it's $100,000 just to get the store fixtures, the equipment, everything all set up. The franchise cost is another $50,000. There's another $20,000 for training. So you're at $170,000 before you have even put your key in the lock, right?
Right.
So you need to make sure you got a budget and cash flow that can support that. So then what is the training that he's giving you? Is it just to make the chocolate, or is it to manage the business of making chocolate?
Well, I would hope, as somebody going into business, and I think anyone who's interested in a franchise, one of the critical things would be the management.
You would hope, but I can tell you a lot of franchisors don't have the ability. They can have the ability to support you from a marketing perspective, to give you, in this case, to help you with the chocolate. But how much support can they give you as far as managing employees?
Okay, you're probably right. But it seems to me, as this chocolate maker,
and if they've got 50 franchisees, how do they support each one? So that's where I come in, working with the franchisors to help their franchisees, kind of leveraging what the resources they have, understanding what the systems and processes from a marketing perspective, and then helping to manage those franchisees, helping the franchisees to get better so that they can grow.
Oh, okay. So in that point, you would be actually working for the franchisor.
Or contracting with the franchisor.
Okay. But let's say that, I'm this person that is interested in a business, and maybe the chocolate was not good. It's just that this is probably the only thing I do other than practice law. But for this perspective, and I did think of something. I know two people I know well, both in the chamber, have sign businesses.
Okay.
Now, one is a franchise.
One is a franchise,
and
one is not.
And one is not. So I guess let's assume that the, a person, and maybe that is a little bit better business to think about for a franchise model.
Right, because I know a lot of sign companies, both franchisees and non-independents.
So let's assume that I'm coming to you and there's not these two people in this area with signs, but I'm, that's something I'm artistic and I think I can, really, that's a market that I want to go into. So at that point, what would you tell me with respect to, other than, and I think the coaching is really important for anyone going into business, but how would you help me decide whether or not the franchise sign company is for me, or whether I should just go out on my own and open a
Absolutely. company? So what I would look at in that case, so I mean, again, if you're going to look at the system, the package that the sign franchisor is offering you, what is the cost? What are you getting for that? Are they giving you discounts on equipment, suppliers? That needs to be factored in. And what are they requiring? And then from a monthly perspective, so you'll know factually what your upfront costs are. On a monthly basis, what are they charging? Is there a royalty? Okay. Is there an annual gross, and is there a marketing fee? For example, the franchise I was involved in had a flat monthly plus 5% of my gross revenue.
Okay, so you had to look at that cost.
Right.
So, and
you had to take that as part of your on top of your upfront costs.
Right. So you had to know and had to make a decision whether or not it was worth it, whether or not they were going to provide you with what you needed, but not only provide you, but whether it was worth that expense.
Exactly. And so going back to the sign franchise, whatever the hard dollar costs of getting that sign business, let's assume that they're going to be similar, getting everything established, getting two spaces set up and working. Because you got to compare apples and apples. The franchise is telling you need this to get this business going. So you say, all right, I can do this. I'm gonna go do it on my own so that I don't have the monthly fee. So one, you know, it might be slightly cheaper buying the franchise, because the discount that they may provide on the equipment, how it may or may not. So that's
one of the things to look at.
But is there brand recognition that's going to get you business? That's another aspect to consider. It's one of those intangibles. How do you establish that? You know, the other thing is, when you're evaluating the franchise in the disclosure document, what's the turnover of franchisees?
Oh, that's a very good
that's
point.
Listed in the franchise disclosure document, and it's unfortunate the attorney's not here. He'd be able to tell you more where that is in the document, but you can look back in the history, you know, who's left, so that you can actually call them up and say, what was the reason you left? Was there support? So that's the things that you get from doing your due diligence of a franchise document. If you decide you're going to do this on your own, you've got something to compare it to. What you don't have is brand recognition. So you've got your word of mouth marketing. Are you a marketing person? Have you ever owned a business? You know, it besides the artistic talent,
right,
and the passion for wanting to do that, it's a business. You know, take it, you know, a graphic designer says, oh, I can draw, I can do, you know, I can create these things, and certainly I can figure out how to do these machines, but what about the business end? How do I market it? What do I charge for it? Those are things the franchise is going to help provide, give you some data. In your market, you should be able to charge X amount, so that and the numbers they're going to give you a pro forma are based on a 20%, 25%, 30%, whatever it is, markup and profit margin.
And I suppose also, when I'm thinking about this, when whether or not, you know, if I'm out there, if I need a sign, it seems to me it's probably not as important that I go to someone who has a franchise in signs. But if I'm going out to, for example, traveling across the country, you know, I know there are people that, you know, if you go to McDonald's hamburgers, you're going to get pretty much the same meal wherever you are.
Right. It might not be the best, but it's the most popular.
But you certainly know. And
right. You get consistency. And I think you just reminded me of another example. I live up in Roxbury Township. Now, there's been an Outback Steakhouse there they're going over 10 years, maybe 12, maybe longer. Before that, there was at least four or five different independent steakhouses. Now, they would come in, they'd go, they'd come in, they'd go. Now, why has Outback lasted and these other steak
right.
places couldn't? Now, part of it is, a barge part was the management. You know, maybe they knew how to cook, but they can't run a business. There may have been a lot
right.
of other aspects. You know, you have brand recognition with this particular steakhouse. Good or bad, people recognize it, and it pulls people in.
And you're absolutely right, because I know I travel a fair amount, and I know that, you know, if you're out there, well, certainly now with the internet, you can get recommendations.
You can get recommendations a lot easier than ever. Yeah.
But I'm sure that that is something that people would understand either. Same thing with the, what is it, Longhorn.
Right, exactly.
It's another
franchise.
You go somewhere else and you always know Longhorn is going to be a Longhorn.
I travel too. And so if you think about it, right, if I first go into some place I don't know, well, I might not. I know locally I'll prefer the independents because I know which ones are good,
right.
You know, experience-wise. But if I go someplace I don't, I'll pick one of the national chains, at least for the first couple meals until I can find and get word of mouth from other people that are there. Because you know it's going to be consistent, and you know there's going to be some level that you can be comfortable with.
And of course, you know, I think everyone is also, you know, hoping that they will, you know, if they're interested in a franchise, it will be the next McDonald's or Burger King, or you know, I have some experience with some people who bought into them of those franchises very early on, and of course, you know that
right.
that everybody is. I'm sure that anybody going into business is hoping that that's one of the things that will happen. And we're going to take a short break for a news break. And then I think one of the other questions that I would have one of the things I would think that anyone looking into a franchise business would want to know is whether they have a protected territory.
Absolutely.
So let's talk about that a little bit when we come back.
Sure.
This is USA Radio News. I'm J.J. Jeffries. French security forces have put an end to a three-day terror rampage around Paris. They've killed the two brothers who staged a deadly attack at a satirical newspaper, and they've also killed an associate of the brothers after he seized a kosher supermarket to try to help them escape. In addition to the three terrorists, at least four hostages were killed today. With the end of two hostage seizures in Paris and the deaths of two suspects in the newspaper shootings, President Barack Obama says he's hopeful that the immediate threat posed by terrorists in Paris has now been resolved, but he says the French government continues to face the threat of terrorism. Some western New York roads are reopening to limited traffic after a blustery, snowy morning commute, but authorities say the storm isn't over yet. The nearly 60-mile stretch of the state thruway between Buffalo and the Pennsylvania border remains closed. For the USA Radio Network, I'm J.J. Jeffries.
Bad credit card debt happens to good people. Credit card companies lure you in with low introductory rates or low minimum payments. And before you know it, you owe thousands of dollars in credit card debt. It has happened to millions of good people just like you. But here's the good news. Thanks to a powerful program now approved, anyone with $2,000 or more in credit card debt can cut their credit card payments up to half and even reduce or eliminate interest charges altogether. That's right. Our nationwide nonprofit program is helping U.S. residents cut their credit card payments. Call 800-991-6376 now. The call and information are free. Credit Guard has helped over 500,000 people with their credit card debt, and now we can help you. Call 800-991-6376 to see how this powerful nonprofit program can work for you. Bad credit card debt happens to good people. Get free of credit card debt today. Call 800-991-6376. That's 800-991-6376. Again, 800-991-6376.
Keep it off for the rest of your life. There is a difference. My name is Dawn Moore. I am a certified health coach who uses a Take Shape for Life approach to help my clients lose weight, eat healthy, and live longer. Call me at 908-303-5334 or email me dawn@moreandbetterhealth.com. Your prescription for living a healthy, energetic, and intentional life.
I'm Dave Lang with Insight Financial Services and a proud member of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Even in this difficult economy, our family of companies, including Insight Financial, Premier College Funding, and the Insight Tax and Accounting Group, have grown and prospered. I believe that our participation in all of the opportunities that the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce offers to its members strongly contributes to our success.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
I help students gain admission to colleges that are a great academic, social, and financial fit, where they will be successful, happy, and graduate on time with minimal debt. Email Diana at creativecollegeconsulting.com for a free consultation.
You're listening to HuntertonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programming.
Territory.
Well, we're back, and my guest today is Tom Terode.
Terode, yes.
And he is the managing director of Sunrise Business Advisors. I know he's also involved with BNI groups, and in fact, that's probably one of the things that he would recommend that somebody in business look around and see if there is a BNI or a networking group of business people. But the next question, we'll talk about that a bit, but the next question that I had of Tom is, what should somebody look at if they're looking at a franchise as far as territory?
Okay, you want to make sure that you're protected. And each franchisor is going to have a little bit different arrangement what that actually means. An example, when I was part of the coaching franchise, we were licensed through the franchisor to sell our services in, I was licensed for the state of New Jersey. Now, what happens if I got a referral out of New Jersey, which, you know, we're close to Pennsylvania, so it happened fairly frequently. In that case, if it was referred from a client of mine, I'm not specifically doing marketing in Pennsylvania, but if I was referred out, I would clear in this particular franchise, it was a master license, I would call them up and say, I was referred in, just want to, and it was, we had a good working relationship. He actually later on took over New Jersey as well. So he said, no, I've got a coach in that area, but no problems. You were referred into that. And, you know, their marketing efforts didn't produce a relationship with that person, so it's all yours.
Okay.
So while you're not marketing specifically out there, if you were referred in. So that was how that my franchise worked. Other franchisers are much more specific. BNI is a franchise. So let's use that as an example. The gentleman that owns the franchise in this particular area, this gentleman by the name of Mark Carmody. His title is an executive director. He owns, the area that he owns is known as New Jersey Middle. He also owns the Poconos north of Bethlehem, up all the way up into Scranton area. But very specifically, that is done by counties. So hit the counties that he owns, Hunterdon, Warren, Sussex, Somerset, Mercer, Monmouth, Ocean, Middlesex. I believe those, you know, a good portion. But for example, one of the neighboring counties is Morris County. We cannot put chapters into that area. Now our members can you know, look for members that are in. I happen to live in Morris County, but I'm in a Warren County chapter. But he cannot actually have a physical chapter in Morris County. That's the boundary from that.
That's very interesting. So
Go ahead.
So that. In that case, and that's a little different in the way that it's a franchise, but it's an interesting situation, because then someone else would not be able to start a chapter, or he won't be able to start a chapter in Morris County.
Right, so but there's another executive director that oversees that has a number of chapters in Morris County, and then that whole other part
now,
of the area.
Now, let me just ask, and let's assume for a minute that Mr. Carmody has a group of people who come to him and say, we'd like to start, but we'd like to start in, you know, Morristown or wherever. Is there any kind of...
Yeah, he would refer to the executive director. He would have them call the executive director, and that happens fairly frequently because we're so close to that area.
And in some franchises, then, would there be
some referral fees, and of course maybe BNI is not a good example, but let's say something, someone else, that they can't do the work because it's out of their territory. Do some franchises provide for referral fees?
Yeah, and generally, well, it may not be the franchisor that's saying that's allowed. I know franchisees that may do it on their own. Example, I needed some work done. I had a pipe that broke in my house last night, so I needed some work done. I happen to know a person that owns a franchise. A friend of mine just bought a franchise that services that.
Okay.
I called him up. I said, hey, can you come over and help me? He said, absolutely. I happened to call my insurance company. They referred me to the same franchise but to somebody else because my zip code happens to be in this other. I was above board, and I said, I've already hired. I contacted this person. The insurance company has to know where to send it, so they do it by zip code. The person that they referred me to happens to own the zip code. Doesn't mean that the guy that I did the work for can't do work there because of the relationship.
Okay.
Now, let's just say that my friend decides, here's work, but it's too far out for him. You know, it's not geographically. He could say, oh, let me call one of my other franchise friends in that area, and I know of cases in that they will get a referral fee for that.
Okay. And I suppose even, plumbers, electricians, I suppose that there are certainly, Roto-Rooter, for example, there are certain things that
someone... Ben Franklin
is
a plumbing, Mr. Sparky is the part of the electrician, and there's a number of other ones like that. So, yeah, there's a number of franchises. And they support them with marketing ideas, not necessarily from a leadership and maybe not necessarily from being able to understand their profitability or their numbers, but they're getting systems, they're getting branding, they're getting brand recognition.
And it's as you said, marketing.
Right.
I mean, I suppose, and especially I've always lived in either, small towns or rural areas, and so... You had people that you knew. I mean, there was the local plumber, there was the local electrician. But I'm assuming that certainly in cities or other people, they're going to look at the name, and the name may be the franchise.
And I think other parts of the country, I think New Jersey very much, because there's a lot of small little towns and people, maybe less so than it used to be. But you're absolutely right. It's somebody you know, the relationship. But you go to certain other areas, other states. It's not as predominant. There's newer populations, so that doesn't happen as much. So yeah, they look for a franchise. Or again, we talked about the restaurant. Somebody moving in from another area may not know that person. They don't know about BNI,
right.
But they'll know how I recognize that name, the Midas or whoever Amoco, all those brand names.
Okay, what else? I mean, what should be a turnoff if somebody is looking into this franchise, My Chocolate, for example, or whatever? What should be a warning sign for someone to look at if they're exploring a franchise and they know very little about the franchise?
A huge red flag would be looking at turnover of units. And called the dirty little secret is everybody thinks automatically because it's a franchise business that they're all successful.
Oh, I definitely know from clients that's not
not
the case.
But I think a lot of consumers automatically think it is. It's not. But that's one of the things to look at is if you're looking to explore and you're considering buying the franchise, is actually what's the turnover of units in the past year? How many have started? What's how many are new and how many are left? And is it a positive number or a negative number? I was surprised to find I have one a franchisee that I started working with last year, very recognized name. I won't say what type of industry, very
right.
Recognized name. I saw them at the franchise show. They were huge, and I discovered afterwards from another conversation with somebody else, they had a 25% loss of units.
Wow, meaning units, meaning franchisees.
So let's just say they brought in they had 100 new franchisees.
Mm-hmm.
But they lost 125.
Oh, wow.
Right. So
they what you're saying is in a year, they lost 25%.
Right.
And so one of the things...
Was how many have turned... What's the
loss? What's the turnover?
How long have they been established? We talked about the franchise
right.
show. How many were there? Like, you know, how generally, let's take the, you're starting a chocolate. Say there's no other chocolates, and I'm going to create Pat's Chocolates. So the first thing that you'd want to do is create a model store where you test the systems, you create the systems. And would it make sense for you just, all right, I got this store's successful, it's profitable. All right, now let me go franchise. No, most franchise brokers and franchise development people will tell you the best thing you can do is do at least two or three so that you have a proven system.
Okay.
Company-owned stores, and then start franchising. So it's not something that's going to happen overnight. It's we create one, then we create another one. So this one works really well in this town. It's working so well. Let's go 20 miles away and pick a town, maybe similar demographics, where we can put another unit in to test it.
Well, the interesting thing about that, I guess, if let's assume someone comes to you and says, look, I have this business. I think it's really successful. I'd like to franchise it. One of the things that I would think of is it would also depend on how important that person is, because your example earlier when you started that second video store,
mm-hmm.
And then you had to spread yourself so thin.
Right.
And can you find other people who are really also going to be successful in the same business? Seems to me that would be important.
It's huge. So who's managing the store? Now, luckily, I had a partner, so
right.
He was managing one store, I'm managing the other. Now, keep in mind, when we had one store, we were both managing it. We had a couple part-time help, but it enabled us to take other time off, and I had another business. Now we've got two stores, so we're both managing that. So literally, I went from working 3 days a week to working now 7 days a week and working 12 hours a day. And, you know, a little bit of help here and there, but it was a complete difference. But it's right. It's finding, so you've got one location that's working well. It's finding somebody that can manage that has the same interest. You might put them in the original store, and then you go start that store. But that's all part of it. It's that human element. When you have the one store, this is what you're creating that you're trying to develop from a franchise perspective. The systems. This is how we do the chocolate. From timing to everything, you know, when do we open? What's the best time for us to open? Well, how are we marketing this? You know, are we doing open houses? Are we doing testing? All those pieces of in marketing to help establish the brand that you're trying to create. And then you all right, it works well here. Let's do the exact same thing here. Does it work as well?
Mm-hmm.
You've kind of proven that out.
Well, and it's interesting because, for example, I mentioned I travel a fair amount, and we were talking about restaurants, but also, depending on where I am, I know what chocolate, I love chocolate, so I know what brand of chocolate to buy.
Right.
Honestly, that I would still, you know, that I know. For example, there are lots of places around the country where you can find See's chocolate, and mm-hmm. See's chocolate's pretty good.
Right.
So, you know, I'll buy See's chocolate. Now, other places, you're right. I mean, I think that all of us tend to, if we see a product that we know.
Recognize.
We recognize.
Right.
I mean, you know, if it's going to be, if I can find Mexican Coca-Cola somewhere, I'm going to buy it because I know it's going to taste the same wherever
right.
I get it.
Right.
But getting back to someone, and what I'm hearing, and a lot of people, especially in the recession and the downsizing, people like you who worked for a Fortune 500 mm-hmm. company or worked for a big company, and then they're being let go with a package. They're not ready to retire. They may be in their 40s or 50s, mm-hmm. and they want to do something else, but they don't have a passion. In other words, there's not anything that they do that they think that will translate into a business. What would you, as a coach, advise them?
Well, find out what they're passionate about. There's something. And sometimes, for some people, that's easy, and other people, it takes a lot of time. Some of my clients, you know, they've been in business for anywhere from some startups to people that have been in business third generation, 50 years. One particular client, he's been in business 30 years. And I won't say he's lost his passion, but he's established some systems and processes, and the business doesn't completely run itself, but he's looking for what's next for him? What is he passionate about? So it's uncovering and really peeling that back. You mentioned something like when people start a business, they have this grandiose dream. This is where I'd love to take it. But what ends up happening a year after you've been in business? the weeds start growing. You're stuck in it. You kind of forget. You put that in the parking lot. I can't think about that. That's, you know, I can't even, you know, figure out how I'm going to make payroll next week. So it's pulling it back and taking what's been covered over and helping pull it out again so that you can drive that energy and that passion back.
Well, what do you tell people that, because, you know, there are many people, and I'm not saying that they don't work hard, but they've worked for a corporation, they've had pretty set hours, mm-hmm. and, you know, so they're not the entrepreneur type, because I think it sounds to me like you were the entrepreneurial type from the beginning.
I was very much. I always knew that I wanted to work.
And frankly, I've had a number of clients who are real entrepreneurs, and I think they're wired differently. No, and I say that in a good way, because
you're right.
You know, they're willing to take risks that other people are not necessarily willing to take. They're willing to work, you know, 24/7. What about that person that has really had a good job for a number of years? Because one of the things that I see is I'm not sure that they understand the necessity of working that 24/7 when you're in business yourself.
Absolutely. I've got another client, a husband and wife, and well, she has that drive. She kind of came from an entrepreneurial. She's frustrated because my husband's perfectly content, you know, working 30 hours a week. And he's got an equal share of the business, and he's comfortable. But, you know, there's a huge frustration. So it's identifying that if you truly want to have a business, that it does. It's not a 9-to-5.
So it sounds to me as if what better advice to someone out there who is perhaps leaving a company and you know, wanting to do something else is to first of all go and have a good coach and get some coaching to find out whether or not they really want a business.
Absolutely right. I mean, because it's not for everyone, and the last thing you want to do is invest hundreds of thousands of dollars and find out, I didn't want to do this. I've seen that. I was going to recommend a book that really ties in. There's one of my mentors, and it's a brand new book, just came out right before the holidays, called The Roller Coaster Entrepreneur, and his name is Darren Hardy.
Okay.
And he's one of my mentors, and it is absolutely probably one of the best books that I've read that ties into not necessarily what it's like to be an entrepreneur, but what it takes. And he talks about it. Why is the roller coaster? Well, you're in business. Some days are up, some days are down. And hopefully at the end of the day, you kind of even things out. You know, you got to have that, passion, that drive.
You have,
it is ups and downs.
Yeah. But I absolutely agree that you have to, In my view, I love what I do. I've been doing it for 36 years.
It shows.
I'm still doing it because I really like it. And I can't imagine how awful it would be to go to a job every day if you didn't like it.
But a lot of people in corporate America, I wasn't there, but I saw people that were there.
Oh, I see it all the time.
You know, why are they still there? Because they're in a comfort zone.
Well,
they're making good money and they can't see, you know, I don't want to take the risk. Mine was, I never wanted to be that security.
But see, you were one of those people who were wired as an entrepreneur.
I
absolutely believe this after, you know, because one of the things that I think someone with a true entrepreneurial spirit is willing to take risk. Now, it shouldn't be foolish, but
right.
I mean, I'm thinking of one client of mine, and he had an idea, he ran with it, he ended up selling the business for multiple millions of dollars. But I also remember he invested in another business and, you know, fairly quickly lost a couple $100,000. Now, for most people, that would have been crushing. But for him, it was just, hey, it was one more, you know, could have taken off, but it was just too early. You know,
it was a lesson learned.
It was a lesson learned, but it wasn't going to damper his spirit.
Right. What I would say is if somebody, let's take the person we're talking about, somebody in a corporate job is thinking about, do I want to own a business or not? And maybe they start the business, and almost every person, you know, will recommend start it part-time. So let's just say that, you know, you decide it's going to be Pat's Chocolates. But it started part-time. You know, nowadays you don't need a retail shop. You can create it on the internet. So you start developing it and then building it, you know, whatever it is. And then slowly decide at what point does it make sense. I no longer need that corporate job. I'm understanding what this is about. Because if you're not wired and if you've only ever had a job working for someone else, it's very difficult to make that mind shift. It can be done, but you've got to – it's making a conscious decision that you're going to change. And change – you can make change. Everyone can change – you can't change your DNA, but you can change the mindset. And you have to decide, do I want that mindset enough? Do I want what I'm creating enough to risk a little bit or risk it all?
Well, and we're about ready to wrap up, but I'd like you once again to, Tom, give your phone number.
Absolutely.
Because I know that one of the things, and I truly believe this, that before someone starts a new venture, it certainly makes sense to get some kind of coaching, and maybe not even coaching is the word, but certainly
some guidance. And I can, you know, I love talking to people that are thinking about starting a business. Because I, you know, find out what they're passionate about, and I'll ask them questions, and I it's never to steer them away because I never want to discourage people, but I just want to give people the reality.
And I think that's really important because, as a divorce attorney, I've seen people who are getting divorced because they've run through all of their assets,
mm-hmm.
their home is underwater, the credit card debt. And, you know, all of a sudden the spouse is not happy with the decision that the other spouse made to risk everything
right.
in the family. So I think all of us, although we probably don't like to admit that it would be helpful to have someone who knows what they're doing kind of guide us through the process, it really makes sense.
It absolutely makes sense. And as I said, I mean, we started out, I wished I had somebody that I could talk to back then.
And I think that anybody going out on their own, and for example, I started out, I clerked for a judge, I started out in a mid-sized firm, I was a partner in a fairly large firm in New Jersey, and then I decided that by that time I think I had the skill set,
mm-hmm.
and I decided to go out and be a solo, and I've had associates, etc. But I think that the one thing that I now realize I should have done is not get coaching for the law, but get more coaching and more assistance in running the business side.
Right.
And I think that you know, there for those of you who have not gone into business school and have worked, I mean, this is really important. I mean, any kind of anything you're doing today, if you're out on your own or in another partnership, you know, you really need somebody who's handling the business. And, of course, we haven't had time today to talk about selecting partners, but I'm sure that would be another thing people want to go
into. Assessments I work with to help bring, you know, to assess, is that the partner that's best for you, not just from a monetary standpoint, but personality-wise.
Right.
Is there a fit?
So often, you know, that is so important because you don't necessarily go into business with your friend.
And that can be a big mistake. Most times is.
Well, Tom, give us your phone number and how people can contact you. And I
sure.
really appreciate your being here today. And we've talked about franchises. And I hope it's been somewhat helpful for anyone out there thinking of going into business.
My cell number, as Pat had said earlier, is 973-668-8342. My office number is 862-219-6890. And my website is sunrisebusinessadvisorsors.com.
And if necessary, if that you didn't catch it, you can always contact me, Pat Smits, and you know, I'll pass on the information. So thank you again, Tom.
Thank you, Pat.
Let Stowaway Self-Storage be your local moving and storage solution. With three great locations in Hunterdon County, Stowaway is conveniently located in Flemington, White House, and Lebanon. Stowaway Self-Storage offers sizes from 5x5 to 50x50, discounted packing supplies, and U-Haul rentals on site. Affordable monthly rentals for your personal and business use, let Stowaway help you park your car in the garage again or store those old records that you need to keep. Visit us at stowawayselfstorage.com mention this ad to receive 50% off your first month's rent.
Hi, my name is Debbie Lentenny of Assure Shred.